This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on the Escape Hour with Russ, Tad and Fiona.
I would love to welcome to the show Johnny DeFrancesco from 400 Gradi, one of Melbourne's most incredible and famous pizzerias, who is here to talk all about the magical, the mystical and the extraordinary Naples. Here you have a beautiful book, Johnny, called The Food of Naples, that's just been brought out, just come out. Welcome to the Crazy Escape Hour.
Thanks for having me. I was hoping one of you would ask me to be your best man or best something.
Oh, wow. We should. We could do it again.
Listeners, you have no idea how gorgeous this man is. So, Ted, you're divorced. Now, would you like to get married?
Well, what we could do is at the end of the show, you could do the best man speech.
Sounds good.
That actually sounds like a fun idea.
We'll do that.
So, The Food of Naples. Now, what I think is so fascinating about we were talking before about Neapolitan pizza and how it is so specific that, like champagne, you can't call it pizza. It can't say it's Neapolitan pizza unless it's really from Naples. What makes a Neapolitan pizza so specific?
It's the whole process on how you make the pizza. So from the time you put the water into the mixer, all the way to when you cook the pizza. So every step. And, you know, I do a lot of master classes. You know, I've been doing them for 5 or 6 years. And I always tell people that every single step of the way, from the time we do start off with the water to the time we put the pizza into the oven, every step is as important as the first, the second, the third, and so on. So
It's actually regulated by law in Naples, isn't it, as far as the recipe for that?
That's correct. So the VPN, or the Verace Pizza Napoletana, back in 1984 put together a set of rules on what you should follow to produce or to make a Napoletan pizza
properly. That's fascinating.
It is. And sometimes I wonder, you know, a pizza's always going to be round. So I remember the pizza I had in Rome was two pieces of pizza that were actually put together and then baked again. That was incredible, but I think I had a terrible hangover at the time, so I was pretty happy with that. What are the other aspects of the pizza that makes it so special?
So when we talk about Neapolitan pizza, you just visually, once the pizza comes out onto the table, you can tell whether it is a Neapolitan pizza or not, just by the cornicione, or the crust around the edges of the pizza, and also the amount of topping that are put onto the pizza. One really simple way to judge whether your pizza has been made correctly and the Neapolitan way is the cooking time. So if your pizza isn't cooked anywhere between 60 and 90 seconds, then it's definitely not Neapolitan.
Really?
Pizza.
Yeah.
60 and 90 seconds. That's very short.
Yeah. At what temperature would that be? Very high.
So yeah, we cook anywhere between 400 and 450 degrees.
Wow. Okay.
So when you do master classes, is that possible that, you know, someone can attend and learn how to make a pizza in their own oven at home, or is it simply just we don't have the technology for that?
No, so what I tell people all the time is as long as you follow all the rules on how to make your dough, then, you know, at home, most people have just conventional ovens, so not everyone has a wood fire pizza oven in their backyard.
I'm sure they would like to.
They would love to, So, you know, I teach people how to use a stone, and they can cook their pizzas in their normal oven at home. And, you know, and I tell people, if you do it correctly and your dough's made correctly, then you would be able to cook a pizza, you know, anywhere between 3 and 5 minutes at the most. In one of those ovens, because you know, the temperature only gets to about 250, you know, so not more than that. But the characteristics, if you know the way you stretch the dough and the way you make your toppings or the way you place your toppings, you still will get that similar characteristic. You just won't get the smokiness, you won't get the softness in the dough.
That's incredible. And again, it with the toppings, is it a less is more kind of rule or not?
100% less is always more.
I mean, realistically, we're still coming out of the pizza, you know, we grew up eating, or Tad, you wouldn't have, but for us Aussies, we would have grown up eating that disgusting pizza with all the ham, shaved ham on it, which is just... Anyway, we better not keep talking about it.
You know, I just call those pizzas birthday cakes. You know, the only thing missing is a candy.
That's right. So true. There's a pizza place in St Kilda, which I won't name because they put rice on their pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? We better stop talking about that right now.
Yeah, no, that's blasphemy. It is. This shouldn't be ever.
So, Johnny, you were the first Australian to receive this particular, training. And now you train people in Australia. But your family is from Naples originally.
Yeah, so my father was from Naples. My mother was from Sicily, so I have a really funny mix.
That's good.
Yeah,
like do the Sicilians and the Neapolitans talk very much? Because you know they've got a lot of various different regional animosities around Italy.
Look, you know, I think these days everyone gets along.
Yeah, it's different.
yeah,
and I think too, years ago it wasn't cool to be from the south of Italy. Do you know what I mean? Like, and now it's very different.
So true. You know, a lot of people tell me, oh, you know, I'm traveling to Italy. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to the north, and I look at them saying. Yeah. You're missing out on some of the best parts of Italy.
Yeah.
You should travel down south, you know. The northern region of Italy is beautiful as well.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, but the whole culture changes as soon as you hit the southern end of Italy.
Yep, definitely. I loved my time in Positano and Praiano and Amalfi. And I was on my way down to Sicily, but I kind of got stuck in I was staying in Praiano just outside. And I just was staying in this gorgeous little hotel. Yep. And I met a girl from Canada and we, you know, had such a fun time that I didn't actually make it down to Sicily. So I'm still yet to go there.
Well, I actually haven't been to Sicily either. And I've got a lot of family there. So that's going to be my next trip to Italy, is Sicily, and spend some serious time there.
Well, we used to hear a lot of stuff about Naples, especially that it was Rome's poorer cousin. And I have been to both Rome and Naples and by far enjoyed my time in Naples. You know, we would eat out at little family and these are family restaurants smack bang in the middle of the city. Yep. And you would just literally go down a laneway and there are all of the locals sitting around in this kitchen with the family and having wonderful pasta and pizza. And it's just something that you can't get in Rome. And Rome's just big and busy all the time. Yeah. I just found Naples. And I just found that you actually got to meet the real Italians in Naples as well, which is absolutely wonderful. There's such a great bunch of people down there, so it was really good.
You hit Naples and you'll walk away with, even if you're there for 2 or 3 days, you walk away with about 1,000 stories.
Yeah,
you do,
Because, you know, the Neapolitans just like, you know, you meet a Neapolitan and if you meet a really, an amazing Neapolitan, you become their friend forever, you know, for life. I've got so many friends in Napoli that, you know, it's just amazing. I'll travel to Naples at least 3 times a year, and I just feel like I'm at home. You know, they make you feel like you're part of the family, and you seriously walk away with so much more knowledge every time I go there. It's like, oh, I didn't know that about.
How fantastic!
Cities. Yeah.
Well, by going 3 times a year, you know, you must be keeping up with all of the, you know, exciting new restaurants that are opening, and then discovering, you know, beautiful old places that you haven't been to before.
Yeah, look, Naples is, there's so much to discover. I think you'd have to travel back and forth a lifetime to even, you know, see the whole part of Napoli. You know, there's so many different regions, there's so many different places that you can visit. You know, and my travels are very quick, and they're always because of work. So I go in, I do, you know, demos, or I do, you know, some food shows, and then I scoot back out, you know. So for me, it's not a holiday, so I don't get to really travel and you know, go absorb down and absorb everything that's happening, and hopefully one day I can just relax and say, okay, I'm going to spend 2, 3, 4 months here and just go off and see
that
everything.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because Naples has got that gorgeous waterfront as well, which is absolutely spectacular. And the favorite thing that we did in Naples, and I mean, it sounds a bit cliche, but the ice cream. Oh my God, I have never in my life had ice cream like it. And this store we found, the biggest cones of ice cream you could ever imagine. Like she just said to us, "You say stop when you want to stop." So we would walk out with these 10-foot cones of ice cream and slurp down the streets like we were little, you know. It was just wonderful. What is it about that ice cream? Is it the home of Italian ice cream? It's just so beautiful.
You know, it's the pizza is amazing, the ice cream is amazing, and the coffee is amazing. Mm. Okay, and if we look deep down into the fundamentals of why it's so good, I always bring it back down to the water.
Yeah,
right.
The water of Naples is just amazing. To produce an amazing pizza, people think that they underestimate the water, component of it. We've gone to the lengths where I actually import my water from Naples to make my pizza.
Right. Oh, wow.
That's incredible.
Wow, that is. So if we can't go to Naples, we could just come visit you and you'll just give us a little shot of Naples.
Definitely, yeah.
That must be a logistic nightmare sometimes, isn't it?
No, it's not that bad. I mean, I do it because of the pH levels in the water.
Right.
Are different. And Australia's got amazing water. I mean, in Melbourne, we have really good water as well.
But it's the mineral content too.
The mineral content and stuff, But, to bring the pH levels down, there's a lot of, technicalities that and you can do it, but it would actually take me longer to do it
here than
to just bring container loads of of water. And I mean, a lot of water gets imported from Italy. I mean, we've got all the brands here that...
Oh, sure.
Of course, bottled water.
Bottled water that comes in from overseas. So it's no difference.
So does it come in like big tanks?
No, we get them in bottles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, Tad, do you think we could get someone to start shipping over New York City water so we can get ourselves some New York City bagels?
We can do that.
Because that's what I'd like. It's all about the water.
It is about the water, and it does make a difference.
People don't believe it.
No, but it's true. Yeah. They've actually done scientific...
Really?
Gotten scientific evidence about it, and it's
true. You could tell me anything about bagels in New York, and I'd believe you. It's the one thing I miss.
Exactly, and it is the same kind of scenario where... That's the way it is, and it's fascinating, really.
Well, I'm just going to have a quick diversion because this is soon going to be the way it is with the Marriage Equality March, and we have a listener who is very appreciative of our little stunt there. It wasn't a stunt, it was for real.
Oh, we're married. We are married.
And this lovely listener says, you guys were hilarious. That was great.
Oh, that's lovely.
That was nice.
We thought it was hilarious, too. Yeah,
fantastic. It's not often we get married on a Saturday, is it?
That's right. And also another message that we've just got a new member. Will is just signed up for membership with Joy from Hawthorne. So thank you for that.
That's amazing. Give us a hoy, Will, if you want to get married today. Yeah. We'll marry you too. It's all going to happen here. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. We could have a wedding in here every week.
We could do that. Let's do it until we get it across the line.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do that.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry, our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. If anyone wants to ask any of us any questions or Johnny some questions, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949. You can ring us on the phone, 1-300-JOY-949, or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Again, we've got Johnny DeFrancesco in the studio with us. Welcome back. Thank you again for coming in. And we're talking everything pizza, Italian food, and you've got a new book out.
Yep. The Food of Naples.
And that's the second book you've done. The first one was about pizza, right?
Correct.
Tell us about this book and why it's near and dear to your heart and about the recipes that are in it.
Look, I decided to make this, write this book because, people see not only Napolitan food, but Italian cooking as, Italian cooking's simple. But I always tell people that the things that seem simple are actually the hardest to make.
I think it's simple. Look at the ingredients. It's a few ingredients. That's the simplicity of it, but it doesn't mean it's simple to put it together.
Correct. some of these recipes, I've had some friends and some chefs that I've worked with. We've developed some recipes ourselves. And, I've got a couple of recipes in there that a really dear friend of mine that, passed away last year. And, he was my mentor for, nearly 15 years. Yeah. Working with him... pretty much 15 years straight.
Right.
So I took some of his some of his inspiration and you know, put them into the book as well. So
that's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of seafood in the...
A lot of seafood.
Yeah, yeah, there looks like it's a lot of seafood. In, in fact, there we go. So this is not very good radio, but if you get a copy of this book, there's this beautiful-looking octopus.
Yeah.
I remember when I was travelling in Italy, I was in a supermarket and I was looking in the frozen section and lo and behold, I found a frozen octopus. Like we would have a, you know, frozen... It was a very funny thing to say, like a whole frozen octopus.
Is that one of those location things? You kind of had to be there?
Yeah.
Did you take a photo?
I did. I did, actually. It is absolutely beautiful, all of the aspects of the book. So, I mean, is there anything in here that you think people is going to surprise people about Italian cooking?
I don't know about surprising. I think, you know, once they go through the method, they'll actually understand that it's not that simple to put together. And there are a lot of, you know, a lot of processes behind it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the process of writing a book, a cookbook?
Yes.
I hear it makes you fat because you end up sitting down a lot and writing a lot and eating a lot.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit difficult because you get stuck and you think, oh, I want to... You know, put this one in there as well, and I want to. And then I think, oh no, we'll take that one out and we'll add that one. You know, it's a lot of thought process behind it, and it does become quite difficult, especially when you're running four restaurants as well, and trying to keep, you know, all of that going. I mean, this book, you know, took me so long to write at this time.
Really, how long did it take?
Look, I think I was going well over 12 months on it.
Okay,
Yes, because I was just looking at this one particular recipe, vongole. I just like saying it, you see, vongole. and then you've, of course, got clams here. Well, you know, little pippies, they make for excellent vongole, but obviously very different to the... Yes. How different are they, for example, to the clams that you would get in Naples?
Look, really different. But I've been able to source, you know, here in Melbourne, they call them verace. Vongole vedace, which you know, true vongole, and very, very, you know, rare to find, but and also very expensive when you do find them.
Sure.
But, they are good. But you eat vongole in Naples, and then you come back here and you start eating pipis or clams, and you think, oh,
not the same.
What's going on?
Yeah.
It must be really difficult for, you know, I mean, I was thinking when I was in Naples, how deciding where to eat, you know, we'd be overwhelmed. But, you know, there would be regional specialties, of course, and then there could be even specialties within neighbourhoods.
Yeah, you know, every part of Naples. I mean, look, if you go to a lot of restaurants, you'll find that you'll find a lot of similar dishes on every menu. And that's because, you know, they are the regional specialties, you know, and they don't want to take them off because they're being true to what Naples is about. And I think that's a great thing. I always tell people that are traveling to Naples, you know, they say, oh, where should I go and eat? And I say, look, it doesn't really matter where you eat. Because even, you know, and I use this word, it's probably not the right word to use, but even the worst place still in Naples is still quite good.
Yeah.
You know?
So, it's really good. Have you got a favorite recipe in the book?
Yes, I love the sardines. Yeah, sotto. So, you know, preserved sardines, which I'm actually... We're launching our new menu in the next few weeks, and I'm going to put that on the menu. Yeah.
Oh, good.
And I can imagine one of the great pleasures of visiting Naples would be visiting all the markets.
The markets are unbelievable.
I would just love that.
Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, especially when you get sold fake things. That's the best part of Naples. You know, a lot of people say to me, "Oh, you know, Johnny, when you go to Naples, do you get, you know, rorted a lot of people?" And I'm like, why do people think that's what Naples is all about? That's part of the beauty. Yeah. It's trying to avoid all of that, you know.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Actually, if you don't get rot, you haven't had a good time.
Well, you haven't
had
a good time. You haven't had a true experience of Naples, right? I think, you know, look, I've been tricked a couple of times in Naples, and I walk away thinking that was great.
Give us an example. How have you been tricked?
Oh God! Like, you know, I was in the terminal of the train terminal going to Rome. I was taking a train from Naples to Rome, and I was carrying my bag and also my luggage. And an old lady came up to me, you know, asking for some money. And I said, oh, you know, you're right, I'll give you some money, you know, because I felt, you know, it's the right thing to do. And I then placed my backpack on the floor to give her some money. And I've turned around and
gone.
See you later.
No. So it was a tag team situation.
It was, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So thank God.
Even the little old ladies are tough.
Yeah. No, so thank God I didn't really have anything in there that was valuable. Right. Or, you know, thank God I had all my passports and stuff with me. Right. I never, especially when I travel, and I'm sure you probably give that advice to people, yeah, never keep passports in your, you know, travel, in your backpack or anything like that. Just I just had a jumper in there that I, you know, so I thought, oh, Jesus.
Good luck to you. Yeah, good luck to you. I know I have a partner who is basically a safety Nazi.
Yeah.
And so, so we...
I'm like that. I'm from New York.
Oh, well, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
And we were in Naples, and as soon as we enter the station area, I get this list of don't talk to anybody, don't look at anybody, and don't speak to anybody. You are going to be the classic one they're going to come after. And then he'll say something to me, so see that person there? He's watching you, he's watching you, he's watching you. And I'm like, which one?
No, you have to be aware of your surroundings.
You do, yeah. You and do. I'm not good at that. I freely admit that. So it's good to have someone who's, you know, watching every moment. Yeah.
No, I'm a firm believer of, you know.
Yeah. My first time in Naples was the best. I you know, got out of the terminal, got into a taxi and showed the taxi driver the hotel that I had to go to. And he's looked at me and he's, you know, I've spoken to him in Italian, and he said, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from Australia. And we're driving along and he's acting really strange. And then he said to me, are you sure you want to go to that hotel?
Oh.
He said, you know, there's plenty of beautiful hotels in the city. And I said, no, I need to go there because the school that I'm going to attend is not far from it. It's only across the road. So I get to the hotel and he says, oh, good luck. And I walk in and I think, what is wrong? Why is he doing this? And I cut a long story short, I was talking to the owner of the hotel a few days later. And I said to him, look, I think I want to move. And he said, why? And I said, the taxi driver was telling me that this area is not good. Now, if for those of us that have been to Naples, we know Poggio Reale now that I know as well, is probably one of the, you know...
City of herbs.
Yeah, rougher neighborhoods.
Rougher neighborhoods, right? And I said to him, you know, he's telling me, leave. You should go to, you know, the city and stuff. And Gianni, the owner of the hotel, says to me, why would he tell you to leave? This is the safest spot in Naples. I said, what do you mean? There's... jails and there's prostitution and all this sort of stuff. And he says to me, oh, no, don't worry about all that. He said, look, on the left of us, you know, we have the jail. On the right of us, there's the cemetery. He said, and I can tell you, no one's ever escaped from that jail and no one's ever going to raise from this. So they turn all these negative...
They've got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, that's what I love about them.
That's fantastic.
Well, of course, Naples has, you know, the history of Naples has been so popularized through the Elena Ferrante collection of books. We all learnt more about Naples from reading those books than, you know, we ever could. And of course, it's an extraordinary series of stories.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't know if Elena Ferrante, I mean, no one's met her. She's a secret. Well, she's not. She doesn't do interviews. Do you know any insider information? I don't know if you've read the books, but they were very, very popular.
I'm a very, you know,
busy person who
very, very busy, doesn't get around. I don't see much. I just work and leave.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
I'm catering for the big events.
The theme of reception is Pompeii.
Perfect.
Yeah, so Pompeii. It's going to be, it's going to be outrageous. Mm, it's going to be so outrageous. Have you been to Pompeii, my friend?
Yes.
And what did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. My family loved it.
It's great. And every time if you've been, when you go back, more has been uncovered. Mm. You know, so it's, you can go back and see more of... Mm. What it was like. It's just fascinating how they've uncovered all of that and how it was, you know, everything covered in ash and at the time. It's an incredible place.
Yep. And also, of course, that area was the scene in a book, famous book by Susan Sontag called The Volcano Lovers, which is a really beautiful book based on a real-life story of... I don't remember the name of the main characters. I should have said that.
That's all right.
So anyway, yes, there's so many beautiful parts.
Well, I want to take you all to the Isle of Capri.
Oh, I've been there.
You know, I have never seen such beautiful water in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
The trip over to the Isle of Capri is by ferry, and it is just stunning. We stayed in an old nuns' monastery up there, and it was absolutely beautiful. And we would come down for brekkie each morning, and the sisters would be milling around and make us a lovely breakfast. And then we would set out and spend the day exploring the island, and such a wonderful experience. Yeah. It really is. I absolutely adore the Isle of Capri. It's fascinating. They've got a you can cruise around the island and visit the Blue Grotto, which is great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there it's got wonderful shopping centres and fantastic restaurants on the island itself. So it's well worth and this massive chairlift that looks out over the island. And I love heights, so I was one of those weirdos that did the chairlift 16 times over 4 days.
How long did you stay?
4 days. We were there for 4 days, and it was just it was, you know, when you're really, you're having a great holiday, but it's a lot of it's unpacking and packing and going from one destination to the other. Well, if you want a destination where you can just sit and chill in Italy, certainly the Isle of Capri is just that. Yeah. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from there, obviously, either Naples or the Isle of Capri is a great jumping point to the Amalfi Coast. And I'm sure both of you could tell us some stories about the Amalfi Coast.
I do have a funny story. When I was there, I went to a nightclub in a cave.
Oh, did you?
Outside of Praiano. I was taken there by the gentleman that owned the hotel. We were, he was showing me around, and we went to this cave, and you could wander around the cave, and there was one of those blowholes, so that there was a time where the water would spurt up. And it was pretty hilarious and daggy and fun. And then at midnight, so there was this boat in the middle that was not actually in the water, but it was a little boat in the middle, and at midnight all the music stopped. This guy got into the boat, made pasta, everyone stopped playing music, sat down, ate pasta. When they finished the pasta, they cleaned the plates away, the music went on, everyone kept dancing.
That's hilarious.
That's great. How wonderful.
Yeah, that was fun. But we were going to find out where Johnny's favourite places were. I know that you go there for work so often, but
yeah. The Amalfi, I love the Amalfi. I also worked on an island called Ischia.
Yes, I have heard of that.
And they just recently, I think, had some earthquakes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
And that, you know, that little island, it's quite beautiful. There's, you know, it's only a small island, but it's quite interesting to see. And locals are beautiful. I worked at a little pizzeria there. Called De Gaetano, and you know, he's famous. He's very, very famous on the island. Where else? The Amalfi. I mean, the Amalfi for me is one of the, you know, the highlights of you know, traveling.
Have you been? Did you say you went to Sicily or
Sicily? Yeah. So in Sicily, I've been to a place called Ragusa.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is. People mistake it with Siracusa, but it's not. So it's another part of Sicily, Siracusa. There's also an island called Vulcano, where my mum comes from.
Right.
And Isola Eolia.
Right,
which is, you know, the Aeolian, you know, beautiful beaches and amazing.
And when you're traveling around these different regions, there's a lot of different dialects in Italian. So you're not always, if you speak Italian from one region, you're not always going to be able to understand the people in another.
You go from Naples to Sicily, and it's completely different if they're speaking in their dialect. I mean, a lot of people, you know, speak Italian now.
Roman Italian, is that what that would be?
I think just modern Italian now.
Okay,
because, you know, even in Rome they have their dialect.
Is it? Okay.
If you go from south to north, honestly, and they speak in their own dialect, you think that you're in two different countries.
Right.
Well, it happens to us when we go to Queensland, doesn't it?
Sometimes not far out of Melbourne, but anyway.
I know. Trust me, I know. Yep. Well, what's your favourite town along the Amalfi Coast? That's a hard one. I mean, all of these towns are set right on those beautiful cliffs.
Ravello is stunning. Yeah. And
Look, they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, they're incredible. All amazing.
It's interesting because I know the reason for it, but like my grandparents had immigrated from Italy to the United States, and, you know, you go back there now and it's just so beautiful and so amazing. And you think, God, it must have been really tough times for them back then to want to leave there and try to find a life somewhere else just because it was such, you know, traumatic and terrible circumstances at the time. And but it's interesting how things do come around and you know, going back there and for myself, like I always just felt, I remember the first time I went to Italy, I just felt this sense of being at home there, even though I was not born there. Mm. And it was about the food, because I was having food that my grandmother used to make, and it was exactly like the way she would make it, and the smells and the things like that. And it was just one of those things that connects you that way, which is pretty amazing.
Mm. It is amazing. Like, you know, going on to the subject of, let's say, the way we you know, party, or, you know, how our weddings are here now in Australia. They're not the same back in Italy anymore.
Right.
We've actually kept the old traditions, and you know, in Italy they've moved on. And I get a lot of family members that come from Italy, and they'll come for a wedding here, and they look at me and say, "Well, you know, Johnny, this is completely different. Like, this is what we used to do 30 years ago. We don't do this anymore."
That's fascinating.
So it's amazing how we've kept.
If you write anything on your computer,
sorry.
Am I pushing buttons again?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I do apologize for that. We're just in the process of fixing the panel, as always, when I'm working on it. So please continue.
So, you know, as I was saying, our traditions, what we've kept here, are completely different to what they're doing over there now.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you... you might not have an answer to this question, but you know how, like, you know, coffee is pretty much because of Italian immigration to Melbourne, and it's been, you know, popularized because of that. Is that known in Italy? Do they know that those influences of immigration here from that home point, do they know that impact that it's had on our society here? Because it's made a huge difference.
Yeah, look, I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they do. You know, a lot of traditions, I mean, you know, the Italian cuisine.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably one of the most loved cuisines in Melbourne. And again, you know, of course, you know, there are times where it goes slightly more in favour and less in favour.
Yeah.
But, you know, Italian cuisine in Melbourne has seen a renaissance of late.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's been a plethora of incredible pizzerias that have opened, whereas beforehand, you know, the pizza selection might have been a bit dull.
Wanting.
And, of course, you know, fantastic pasta restaurants that can, that open. So it is a cuisine that Melburnians absolutely love. They feel more familiar with that than probably most other cuisines at this point.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Crazy Escape Hour. I think we should actually rename it the Crazy Escape Hour. Yeah. I think that is really good. But for the moment, it's the Italian Escape Hour with Johnny DeFranceschi from 400 Gradi. Sorry, Francesco, I got that wrong.
Right. You did what Russell did to me before.
Exactly. I know, I know.
Why is it so hard?
Look, I don't know. I could just blame being born and raised in country Victoria.
It's okay. You must get that a lot.
Ah, heaps.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But that's all right. We're just talking again about the influences of Italy and Australia. Mm. And I think it's just, you know, you hear a lot of people complaining about immigration and, you know, how it's so negative and blah, 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 blah. It actually isn't, because the fact that that's happened here has enhanced so many other people's lives. And not just Australians, but people that come here and visit. And now that whole concept of the coffee and that sort of street cafe thing is actually being exported to other parts of the world because it's been done so well here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole argument about immigration, it's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
It's not even an argument. But still, it's just one of those things, I think, that, you know, embracing the food and you know, doing it and trying to keep it authentic, I think that's the important thing too, isn't it? Like,
yeah, you know, and ingredients. You've probably noticed that in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, when you go to an Italian restaurant, before it was, you know, Italian restaurant, whereas now, you know, a lot of amazing chefs are starting to bring in regional cooking rather than, oh, we're an Italian restaurant. No, we're a Neapolitan restaurant.
Right.
We're a Sicilian restaurant. Mm. You know, we make food from Abruzzo. We make food from, you know, wherever, different regions of Italy. And I think that's what's made the Italian cuisine generator again in Melbourne, because people are interested in that. You know, you're not going and getting the, you know,
the stock standard. Well, just, you know, the very many, many types of pasta. It's just fantastic to explore and experiment, and it's incredibly healthy food and the Mediterranean diet. Wow. We should all go back to the Mediterranean diet. If you've if you got off it, you should get onto it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I can highly recommend a trip to Naples. The early bird airfares are coming up in 2 weeks, so we want everybody to keep an eye out if you're thinking of going to Italy. They come up in 2 weeks. It's time for us to wrap up now. It's been a fantastic show. I know so much about pizza and Naples now. I'm actually rushing off to have a pizza after this show. So
Sounds good.
What do you think of Naples?
Oh, I can't wait to go. I haven't been. As I say, I skipped over it to go to the Amalfi Coast.
You've got to go.
Yes. Got to go.
Best part of Naples?
All of it. Just stay away. Stay away from the
little old ladies at train stations.
That's it.
No, really, they're the best parts of it.
The worst parts are always the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What a great show, husband. I've enjoyed every minute of it with you. I just cannot believe we're finally married. So we were going to get you to do the best man speech, but we've run out today. No time today.
But I'm still privileged that I am sitting next to the two
happy couple.
And I'll just tell people I was.
You were there.
You were there.
And Father Fiona did an amazing job. Absolutely amazing job.
Thank you so much for coming in today. It's been great having you here again.
Appreciate it.
See you next time.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.